with us this morning into Luke chapter number 2. We preached last Sunday from Matthew chapter number 1. We preached Wednesday night from Matthew chapter 1. Wednesday night we looked at the hope that comes in the name Emmanuel, Christ being Emmanuel, God with us. And with that hope comes all the things that mankind actually desires. And I'm glad this morning that in Him, in Emmanuel, we have everything that we need. And because of Emmanuel, we're never forsaken and never alone. And because of Emmanuel, there is hope for a lost and a dying world. God with us. And one of the greatest things that men seek for to this day is peace. If you found Luke chapter 2, would you stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word this morning? We'll begin reading in verse number 8. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse number 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? Peace is one of the things that mankind has sought for throughout the centuries. And historians tell us that in the last 300 years, there have been less than, or in the last 3,000 years, I should say, there have been less than 300 years in which there have been no wars of any kind. Now stop and think about that. That's only those that understand and can conceive of history that is recorded and history that is known. That doesn't account for the wars and the conflicts that are taking places in areas that have not had a recorded history of what has happened and a recorded history of their wars. I doubt man has ever had a time on earth when he's not been at conflict and he's not been at odds in the last 3,000 years. War and strife and all that it brings on every hand. And wars have been fought supposedly to end all wars. That was World War I was supposed to be the war to end all wars, and it didn't do anything but to usher in the greatest conflict that the world ever seen transpire. But man has sought for peace and has never found peace. Man is still looking for peace, and man still can't find peace in anything that the world seems to offer. We think we find peace, and we think everything is going along just fine, and one day something comes along that just disrupts and disturbs our peace. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's a death. Maybe it's some type of a tragedy that has transpired and has taken place. But we're never truly and fully at peace. When you go to enjoy the holidays and you go to enjoy vacation and you go away at different times and you go to places where things are happening, you can't be at peace because you never know what's going to happen. I don't like I don't like crowds. I don't like big cities. I don't like to go there. You know, everybody runs to New York. I was talking to Amber about that last night. I think everybody goes to New York all the time. And I know people that think going to New York is the greatest thing on the face of the earth. I worked in New York City for 2 years, and I wouldn't give you a nickel for the whole place. Amen? I mean, I got to see the underbelly and the underside. And I mean, I'm not talking about just working in Queens and just working over in the Bronx. I worked down through the Bronx, and I worked in an area of, some of you young people don't probably never heard of this, but there was a movie years ago called Fort Apache, the Bronx. I used to ride by Fort Apache every night, and that sign is up there, the 13th Precinct, Fort Apache, the Bronx. I used to ride right by that every night on my way to the job site. I've worked right in downtown Manhattan for weeks on end and underneath of the city and above the city. I just find no peace there. I'm not at peace. And anything that you can find there that might be lovely and might be beautiful is disrupted by the fact that in any minute somebody is going to try to rob you, scam you, take something from you, or some nut is going to try to do something to get his name on the television and get their calls spread all over media. There's no peace to me in a place like that. And we try to hide ourselves away, and we go and we get up on our little 53-acre farm up outside of Port Deposit, and we think that we're going to find peace there, but suddenly the wind blows or something transpires and something happens and something gets destroyed, and we find out that our peace is even disrupted there. You know, there's a desire for peace within our life. And I tell our folks all the time in our adult Sunday school class that, you know, God is always trying to restore. He's always trying to bring back what has been disrupted and what has been broken. And that's the same way with our peace. Man has no peace because he don't have a right relationship with God. You know, the first thing we got to realize when we think about that, the angel said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. We've been talking in our Sunday school class this morning about God's will, about praying for God's will. What is God's will? Amen. We know it's God's will that none should perish. Amen. He don't want anybody to go to hell. He told the children of Israel when they were in captivity and when they were waiting and dealing with the final fall and the final surrender of Jerusalem into bondage. He said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, the thoughts that I have toward you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to a certain end. It's God's will. It's God's desire to bring us to the right place and to the right relationship with him, to restore that which had been broken. And the only way that we can have peace in our life is to go back to what had been broken and to try to make it right. In other words, the only way we'll ever find peace in our life is to find peace with God. And the only way that we'll find peace with God is a surrendered life submitted unto God's will. Amen. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We got to be at peace with God, and we got to find peace with God because that peace had been disturbed and that peace had been broken and that peace had been shattered when man sinned in the Garden of Eden. If you read all of chapter 5 of the book of Romans, you'll find that one man brought sin into the world, but praise God, he sent his son to die for us even when we were yet sinners. Amen. He loved us. It was his will that none should perish. It's his will to restore a right relationship. And because man was separated, man was apart from God in his sin and in his iniquity, God seen fit to send his son, that through the son we might have a restoration of our relationship and we might be able to find peace with God. And the only way we find peace with God is to have peace in God. Amen. Jesus Christ, he is our peace. We need to realize that even from day to day, the only way that we can maintain our peaceful relationship is to maintain a right relationship with God. Amen. The Bible tells us that we are naturally at enmity, and when we allow the carnal mind to take over, we allow the natural mind to take over. Over in Romans chapter number 8, it tells us that carnal mind is enmity with God. In other words, it's against God. If you're sinning and you're trying to work and you're trying to function according to the flesh, amen, you're not going to have that peace. Amen. Why did Jesus come? The angels tells us right here when they began to sing the heavenly chorus, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. He came that we might have peace, we might have a right relationship. What is broken might be restored. And because our carnal mind, our carnal desire is contrary to what God's desire for our life is, we need to bring ourselves into the place of surrendering to what God would have us to be and what God would have us to do. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you'll never know peace. The Bible says in Romans 3:11 that there is no peace. We are without peace. In verses 17 and 18 of Romans 3 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You see what? Without a right relationship with God, without a restored relationship with God, without a scriptural relationship with God, there is no peace. You know, I talk to a lot of people and I witness to a lot of folks, and a lot of people tell me all the time, well, I'm trying to work this thing out, or I've got my own thoughts, and I tell you this all the time, I know I tell you all the time, but you need to hear it all the time. God really don't care what you think. Amen. Amen. He cares about what thus saith his word. Amen. Amen. He don't care how you're trying to find peace. You'll never find peace apart from finding peace according to his word. Right. Amen. And I don't care who your kids are. I don't care who your mom and dad are. I don't care what they've done, how they've done it, how much money they give to the church, how much time they have spent doing anything else apart from finding peace God's way, you'll never know peace. Why? Because God had a plan. We was talking in Sunday school about praying in God's will. We know that he hears us when we pray according to his will. You know that's what the Bible says. You know, people pray for a lot of things, but the only thing God hears and the only thing God listens to is what we pray for according to his will. Amen? That's what it says. He said, we know that God heareth us if we pray according to his will. Amen? So we pray according to God's will, and we want God's will. It's God's will that none should perish. It's God's will that all have that right relationship. The Bible tells us and makes it plain that we were separated from God, and the only way that we can know peace is in Christ. That's what it said there in Romans chapter 3. The way of peace they have not known. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, it says, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. How's that? That's in our sinful condition. That's the way we are before we're saved. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Listen to this. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, Praise God, this morning I'm glad when Jesus was born. I'm glad when Emmanuel came. I'm glad when hope was given to the world. There was hope for peace to be restored. And the Bible tells us that the only way that we're going to have peace is to have that right relationship with God. The only way we can have peace with God is through Christ Jesus. And the Bible makes it plain that He is our peace. I don't care what happens. My house can burn down today. Jesus is my peace. Amen. My bank account can disappear tomorrow, but praise God, He's still my peace. The doctor can tell me you're going to die, but praise God, I'm glad it's not about who I am or what I am or what I've done, but it's about who He is. He is my peace. Amen. And as long as I know Him, I know peace. Amen. Amen. What's that sign say? Know Him, K-N-O-W, know Him, no peace. Know Him, N-O, Him, N-O, peace. Isn't that the truth? Amen. Amen. He is our peace. I was separated. Amen. But I've been made nigh by the blood of Jesus. And because of the blood of Jesus, because of that baby that was born in Bethlehem, that died on Calvary's tree, now I know peace with God. And because I know peace with God, I can have peace in my heart. I can have peace with myself. You know, some people are at conflict with themselves. Most people are at some kind of a conflict with themselves. And the reason they can never find peace in their heart and peace in their life and peace with themselves is they've never made peace with God. Amen. I know people that have lost loved ones and that they spend the rest of their life angry at God and never find peace in themselves. They're always at a turmoil. They're always struggling because they've never found peace with God. Amen. I know people that have went through addictions and have went through problems and have went through troubles and they've not found peace in their life because they've not found peace with God. Isaiah says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Aren't you glad that we can put our trust in Him and find peace? Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. All the books that have been written trying to help men find peace with themselves are of no avail. Man, you go down to the bookstore and probably the biggest selection of books you find in the bookstore, the biggest single area of selection outside of fiction is self-help. Amen? It's self-help. The only way that you can help yourself is to get yourself to Jesus. Amen? Outside of that, there's nothing that you can do for yourself to bring peace to your heart and peace to your life. Apart from Jesus, you will find no peace in your heart. Apart from Jesus, you'll find no peace in your life. And child of God, apart from trusting in Him for everything and in everything, no matter what it is, no matter how it goes, sometimes you got to trust Him even when you know it's not what you want to trust Him for. Amen. Amen? Sometimes you got to trust Him. And I was telling the adult class this morning, sometimes I cringe when I pray for God's will because I know God's will isn't where I want to go. Amen. Isn't what I had in mind. Amen. Amen. But I know in the depths of my heart where God's will is going to take me. He said, "Well, preacher, that's easy for you to say. You think I'm any different than anyone else? You think our lives are any different than anyone else's, that we don't have to deal with the same problems? We got children, and we worry over our children. We care for our children. Our parents have both gone on to be with the Lord. But praise God, when they were alive, we had concern for our parents. We worried for our parents, and we were trying to see the best for our parents. Don't you think we're looking at who we are and how old we are? Amen. My brother and I, we got some some investments together in property and stuff, and I've been trying to unload it for years, and he wants to hang on to it. And I finally told him, I said, dude, you better stop and take a look in the mirror at how old you are. Amen. Amen. You know, you better start taking some things into consideration here. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some things that, you know, we have these issues just like everybody else does. Amen. And we can lose our peace real easy. But we've got to trust in God. Amen. You know, we got one property we've been trying to get rid of for years. Had a contract on it, then the economy went. But you got to trust God, don't you, Jonathan? Jonathan come to me a while back and told me to pray about something he was trying to get rid of. Come to me last Sunday and said, sold it this week. It went. You got to trust God. That's what she says. I know God's going to sell it in his time. I know God's going to do it in his time, but we want it going now. But the way to find peace is to trust God. The way to find peace is trust God. Our granddaughter has cancer. Amen. They've taken, well, they hope they got it all. But they fear that it might have entered into her bloodstream. And that's what their concern is now. And in January, they're going to do radiation. And then they're going to do a PET scan to see if the cancer is spread anywhere else in their body where they can start targeting individual areas. What can we do? Say, oh my, oh me, and wring our hands. Or we can trust God.
Amen.
Amen. What's going to put your heart at ease sitting around? What's it going to be? What's it going to be? What's going to happen? Sure, we're anxious, but we trust God.
Amen.
We trust God. Mm-hmm. Most of y'all know our granddaughter that died. I've told you this, and we'll share this with the adult class again. I'm not looking for pity. It's a great illustration, I think. I could pray, God, you know what I want. God, you know what I want to happen. God, you know what I would like to occur. But nevertheless, God, let your will be done.
Yes.
And when the surgeon come out of the surgery and said, she didn't make it. We have had peace in our heart and peace in our life. That God's will was done. God's will had been accomplished. Last Monday, she'd have been 15 years old. But God's will is a perfect will. And to find perfect peace, you need to learn to trust in God. Amen. You'll never find peace within yourself. Trying to find it in any other way than in trusting in God. Trusting in the one who is the Prince of Peace. Trusting in the one who is come to bring peace. Trusting in the one whom the angels heralded as the peace on earth, as their desire from heaven was the desire for peace on earth. The prophet said, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on thee. Aren't you glad his will is a perfect will? Aren't you glad his ways are a perfect way? And when we have peace with him, amen, we can have peace within. We have peace with God. We can have peace with self because we know that we're in his hands and we're in his care. The psalmist said the prophet went on to say in another verse, he said, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast also wrought all our works in us. Thou wilt ordain peace for us. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And thou will ordain peace. You know what God wants for us in our lives? You know what he wants for us to have personally in self and in ourself? You know why he sent his son to die on an old rugged cross, to be born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger, to become the Lamb of God? He came so that we might have peace. That he might let us understand and know that it's about having peace. You go every year, everywhere you go every year at Christmas time, you see the signs, peace on earth. Peace on earth. In the midst of people running over one another. stomping on one another. We need to learn to find that peace on earth entails finding peace with God. And having peace with God brings peace with self as long as we live in this world. Jesus said, I've told you these things that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Amen. I'm glad that because of Him I can have peace with myself and peace in my heart, knowing that He's in control. It's a gift that God gives us. In Galatians 5, 22-25, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Amen. It's a gift of God. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, we're going to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. If we're walking in the gifts of the Spirit, one of the gifts of the Spirit is peace that we can have in our hearts. But not only finding peace on earth is peace with God and peace with self, it's finding peace with others. In Romans 12:18, it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Psalms 34:14 says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Sometimes you see strife in this world. A child of God should never be the one that initiates and instigates strife. Maybe y'all didn't hear what I said. A child of God should never be the one that initiates and institutes strife. Now, the Apostle Paul said, as much as lieth within you, as much as possible, seek peace with all men. It's not always possible. Amen. It's not always possible. It's not always easy. The Bible, as I told you earlier, is a book of restoration. From Genesis, we see that God already started the plan of restoration, to the book of Revelations, where everything has been fulfilled. A book of restoration, yet God's people don't strive and don't try to find restoration the way that they should. God's people get angry with one another. Instead of dealing with things God's way, they get all bowled up going down the road. One of the most poignant stories I ever heard was a young man I know that got saved. He was a teenager in high school, and he worked for Rogers Hardware Store up here right behind where Pat's Pizza is. Now it used to be a hardware store. They're called Rogers. He worked in there. There's an old man worked in there for a year named King. And Andy went and got saved and went in there and started witnessing and telling King about Jesus and invited him to come to church. He said, I don't need what you got. He said, you're just one of those kiss my backsides, and he didn't say backside, Baptists. Andy looked at him and said, what do you mean by that? He said, oh, you all getting a tough with one another. You get mad at one another, say, kiss my, and go down the road and start another church. The irony of it is the man is absolutely right. You can agree with it or disagree with it. The irony of it, most Baptist churches started in Cecil County. Most Baptist churches started in Cecil County. Started because somebody got mad at somebody and went down the road and started another church. When God tells us where to find restoration, the only way we're going to find peace and have peace in our life, have peace with God, is to do what He tells us according to His Word. The angel said, Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. How are we giving glory to God when we're mad and we're angry at our brothers and sisters? We're angry with people and we can't find peace with people. What kind of a testimony is that of what God has done and what God is doing in our lives if we can't strive to find peace? Peace on earth. One of the saddest stories you'll ever hear revolves around the very birthplace of Jesus. The Roman Catholic Church had placed a silver star over the supposed spot where Jesus had been born. And in the mid-19th century, after this star had been there for years, placed by the French, backed and the French supported. For those that don't know, the Roman Catholic Church wasn't always headquartered in Rome. For many years it was in France. France was the biggest supporter of the Pope and of the Roman Catholic Church. But this star that had been placed there by the Roman Catholic French-backed church didn't suit the other part of the Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Russian-backed part of the church. And the Eastern Orthodox Church wanted to remove the silver star that had been placed there by the Roman Catholic French-backed church and replace it with a silver star that would be much better than the one that the Roman Catholics had placed there. And they wanted to place it there, and they were the Russian-backed church. And at that time, Turkey was the one who governed, and Turkey was in control of Palestine. And a great argument ensued over the birthplace of Jesus. The place where just a few short miles away, the angel chorus had heralded from heaven, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. An argument transpired between the Roman Catholics and the Eastern Orthodox. Folks, these are churches. Folks, these are supposedly Christian people. The conflict got so bad that Russia declared war on Turkey because Turkey decided to back the Roman Catholics. And what has been known as the Crimean War broke out. And for 3 years, from 1853 to 1856 and the 57, a bloody conflict took place, arguing over the birthplace of Jesus. You think, wow, that's just plumb silly. That's just plumb crazy. But how many times do we have conflicts in our own churches? How many times do we have conflicts in our own families? No family members that, man, you see everything on Facebook. People air all their dirty laundry on Facebook. You know, this family member's mad at that family member, so they unfriend him and cut him out and block all messages. And this one gets on and talks about how this family member's blocked all the messages and that. I mean, it's ugly. Amen. It's ugly. Church members come to church and this bunch sits on this side and this bunch sits on that side because they've argued over the color of the carpet, the color of the curtains, the type of lighting, and such nonsense. We can't be at peace with one another. And if we're not at peace with others, we can't have peace within ourselves. And when we don't have peace within ourselves, it means we're not at peace with God. Amen? Because if we put under everything under God's control, everything under God's hand, and do everything according to God's plan, we'll find peace in our lives. See, God's desire for us is to know peace, to have peace. We can dwell in peace in the midst of the storm. I like a saying that sometimes God stills the storm. But sometimes he just steals your heart and lets the storm rage. That's what Jesus was saying. In this world, you have tribulation. He said, but I come to give you peace. I've overcome the world. You can have peace in me. You can find peace in me. And if you got peace in me, you'll find and strive for peace with one another. Paul encourages us to live peaceably with all men. The psalmist said to seek peace. Jesus in Matthew 5 says, blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. You don't have to make peace because everybody, they only want to make peace if they're right. We don't make peace if we're right. We make peace because that's what God wants us to have. That's the only way relationships can be restored. That's the only way we can have a right relationship with God. We got to seek God's will. Seek God's face and seek his desire. And his desire is for peace. Glory to God in the highest. The only way that we'll glorify God is striving within ourselves to maintain peace. Striving in our relationships to maintain peace. Peace in our families. Peace in our church. Peace at the workplace. And to seek peace in this world. Teddy Roosevelt said, walk softly but carry a big stick. His desire was for peace. As much as it hurts us, and as much as we struggle with it, we need to learn that the gift of peace was given to us when Jesus Christ was born. But for it to be a gift, we have to receive it. And for us to receive it, it has to be desired. For it to be desired, it has to be something that we want. And for it to be something that we want, we have to surrender everything else to find it. Peace on earth. Do you have peace? Do you have peace with God? Are you in a right relationship with God? Are you saved according to the Word of God? Are you sure you're going to heaven on the authority of God's Word and not what you think, feel, or believe? Do you have peace in your heart and peace in your life, peace with yourself, because you know you've made peace with God? Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song.